This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You might assume we're both good at presenting to a live audience because of this podcast. But at the end of the day, when we record, it really feels like we're just talking to one another. Presenting information in person in a formal setting to a large audience is something that still makes us really nervous. To prepare for a live speaking event we're hosting together, we turned to our masterclass subscription to not only refine our presentation skills, but to build our confidence in a different kind of public speaking capacity. Between Robin Roberts, Hillary Clinton, and Kevin Hart's expertise, our confidence skyrocketed. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to master negotiate with Chris Voss, think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or plan your dream wedding with celebrity event planner Mindy Wise, Masterclass has you covered. There are over 200 classes to pick from, with new classes added every month, like our latest aha moments from Robin Roberts' Effective and Authentic Communication class that we watched before our event presentation. She taught us how to establish a genuine connection with the audience from the start. I'll always be a little nervous before presenting, but Masterclass prepared us in a way that dialed my nerves down and gave me tools to ground myself. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 50% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself.
Our guest today is someone we've both admired for years, and we are so thrilled to introduce her to you all, Nedra Glover Tawab. You may recognize Nedra's name from her incredible Instagram account that we often repost. She is a licensed therapist, relationship expert, and the author of the New York Times bestseller, Drama Free and Set Boundaries, Find Peace. She also hosts the fabulous new podcast, You Need to Hear This. Welcome to Shrink Chicks, Nedra. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat.
And we were just saying before this, we saw Nedra at the Psychotherapy Networker, and it was such an incredible presentation. You're so amazing when you speak, and we are just pumped to be able to ask you our listener questions and get into it.
Yes, let's go.
Well, I have to ask, did you realize that you were going to end up as the boundaries guru for many people? Most of us don't set off in this careers, and people are obsessed with boundaries, and you're so good at explaining them.
I don't think anyone really realizes. You can hope, right? But you don't realize what the end of something would look like. You think about like Whitney Houston. She just wanted to sing. You know, she didn't know she would be like on t-shirts. Today, you know, it's like, hey, it's 1983. I just want to sing a song in front of people.
Yes.
I just want to talk about boundaries. And, you know, here we are.
Did you gravitate towards boundaries in your work? Like before you've gotten, you know, this huge following, were you always gravitating towards boundaries? Because, you know, we always talk about that as therapists. You kind of gravitate towards specific things in your work.
Yes, but without the title of boundaries, right? I know when my clients are following me on social media because they'll start using the word boundaries. And I'm like, we don't talk about boundaries. You know, it looks like so many things. You know, I certainly speak with my clients about their family relationships, their romantic relationships. And we talk about how can you state that need to someone? How can you, you know, maybe advocate for yourself at work? So we talk about those things, but And we've always talked about those things, but I don't necessarily use that word boundaries. Now I'm starting to use it a lot more, of course, because I'm more known for it. But I feel like the work has been focused on that without actually bringing that word into the conversation. Just like, you know, I don't necessarily use bipolar disorder as I'm talking to my clients, or a positional defiant, or, you know, like those sort of things, even though that's what we're working on. I don't think the label is always as important mm-hmm. as the behavior, what needs to be said, or an action, or, you know, how it's impacting your life. But in terms of writing a book, it has to have a title.
Yeah, they kind of make you do that, right?
Like
you,
they make you have a,
it's really weird.
Yeah, that get coming to the title piece of it is tough. I'm like, you know, like, what do you want to title the book? The book,
right? Like, the only the book.
Title. Yeah, the only book you'll need.
Right.
I like that as a title. So.
Okay, we were also just talking about the name of your podcast.
Mm-hmm. Great
you
name.
Need to hear this, and like, what a genius name that is.
Yeah, I feel like that came from social media some, because you ever see where people post like, I don't know who needs to hear this?
Yes.
I sometimes think it's me or it's you who needs to hear this, yes. right? And so I come up with this idea of, you know, I think you need to hear this is a very direct way to say that it is for you. It's not like, I don't know. It's like, oh, I know who yes, needs to hear yes. it. It's you.
and that is like kind of encapsulates your whole approach, is how mm-hmm. direct you are. And, mm-hmm. you know, in listening to your book and how you frame boundaries and you talk about boundaries, it's so incredible. It's so direct. It's to the point. You're not beating around the bush at all. And so I just think it's so helpful, you know, for readers, for listeners to hear specific examples, and the way in which you explain your examples in your book is just so incredible and helpful for us as therapists, honestly.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because we can't necessarily speak as directly to our clients. So I love having the social media space, mm-hmm. the book writing space, the newsletter space, the podcast space, to be more direct, because with my clients, I hear it. I'm like, oh, girl, this is going to be a problem. Yeah, yeah. What are you thinking about doing?
Yes,
you know?
yes.
But on You Need to Hear This, I could say, girl, don't do that.
Right. Say it directly. Well,
yeah.
I think that there's something amazing. I think that that's one of the problems that happens, right? You come out of grad school and they teach you to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, but there's like confliction of who we are as people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like that confliction of bringing ourselves into the room. But a lot of us are pretty direct people in our lives.
Mm. As a therapist, I've learned to be direct in a witty sort of way. A lot of, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of my clients are like, you know, laughing because I'll just, you know, I may say like, oh my gosh, this sounds so familiar. When did you do this? Oh, 2022, August. Let's talk about August 2022. So, or whatever, you know, and they're like, oh, here you go. You're bringing up. I'm like, oh, but it sounds like the same thing, you know? So I'm being direct, but I'm not saying, hey, don't do this. I'm highlighting a pattern that I've seen in your behavior. I am noticing how you respond to people. So I may say something like, oh, every time you talk about them, you get a little high pitched. It's like you're almost about to sing, but you don't. Words come out. Why do you think that happens when you mention this person's name?
Well, and it goes with an ongoing idea of the non-pathologizing angle, which you really come from, which is like, I'm really going to connect with you and I'm going to mm-hmm. point this out, but I'm going to tell you and you can do whatever you want with it mm-hmm. because I don't go home with you.
Yeah. And you know what? I try to create a space where not only do I not go home with you, I'm not mad at you. Mm. I'm not mad at you. I'm not your sister. I'm not your mother. I'm not your friend. I'm not your coworker. You come to this space to be heard, for me to listen to you and to help you with your life. You're here to receive help. I don't need to spank you on the hand. I don't need to yell at you. Mm-hmm. I don't need to tell you how terrible you are. You're here to get help. And sometimes people will say like, oh my gosh, I've done a bad thing. And I'm like, girl, what did you, or guy, what did you do? You know, and they say what the bad thing is. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, how you, it sounds like you feel bad about doing a bad thing. So I don't even think I need to really hammer in, you know, you're doing a bad thing. It's like, am I here to roast you? No, I am here to help you. Let's talk about why you engaged in this action. Let's talk about, you know, how you are trying to speak more directly, but here you are, you've cussed someone out, right? Let's talk about how that might have happened this time.
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me directly at this moment?
Is it personal?
This feels a little bit personal, but okay.
Well, it feels better to absorb it and to help people when they're in the space of getting help. Now, in a personal life, it's like, I'm not a therapist. This is my reaction is going to be a lot different because you're not in a helping space. You're at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So this is a little different. Right. But when someone is in a space to receive help, I feel like my primary job is to facilitate that.
Well, I love something you really spoke about, the network, which I think was really helpful for so many of the clinicians to hear, was there's weeks that people are going to come in and they're just going to vent, and it's still our job to just hear that. Mm-hmm. It is still our job to show up at that time and to come and to hear and hold space wherever they are. And I there was this like collective sigh of relief in the room when you talked about that. You could see people, like, their faces sort of came down a little bit and their bodies relaxed a little bit, because I think we feel this pressure. And sometimes people just want to show up and then want to talk about some shit and get it out. Mm-hmm. And what's so wrong with that?
Yeah. We want people to make progress. There are these treatment methods. I think they became pretty popular when I graduated college. I graduated 2007. And I remember there was a high focus on solution focus and rapid such and such therapy and, you know, all of this quick 6 week, 4 week, 8 week. Mm-hmm. It's insurance driven.
Yeah.
Yes.
People don't want to. And I get it. If I had to pay for somebody to go to therapy, I would be on them every week. What did you learn? What did you do? Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't want you in there too long. But a lot of the folks coming to us, they have deep-seated issues. They may be coming for an issue with not knowing how to date properly, right? How to pick a person and have a healthy relationship. But that comes from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So I can, you know, I can sit there and focus on, okay, these are all the things you need to do. Go home and do these 8 things and then come, you know, we could do that for 4 weeks and be done. However, why is this an issue for you? Why are you not seeing the love and care that's available in a partner? How are you showing up in dating situations? What things are you, you know, like all of that stuff, that's going to take more than 4 weeks. We only get 53 minutes.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's going to, I'm not doing intensives here. It don't take more than 4 weeks for me to talk about this person from eighth grade who did this thing to you, or your dad and your mom, or your siblings, or this college, you know, partner that you had, or this, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time. Now, in terms of tools, I think, yeah, I can give you tools, but we have to talk about why you haven't been applying them, because some of the tools are going to sound familiar. I'm not a magician here. I'm going to be telling you some stuff you've seen on TV. Mm-hmm. You've read it before. So now we have to talk about, okay, so you knew this thing, you weren't applying it. Why? So it's so much to that. And then you have some clients. I've had clients who are serious about their stuff and they will finish in 6 weeks because they are like, yes. I want to be out of here.
Yes.
But there is nothing wrong with a person who wants to treat therapy as a lifestyle practice. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those folks. Mm-hmm. Some weeks, I don't have nothing to talk about. I just go to therapy and I'm like, girl, Have you started watching Dave? I started watching Dave. And it's my money. Talk about.
Absolutely. We do the same thing, by the way.
Yes. Last week, I have a flip chart coming out with Pasty. I was showing my therapist my flip chart, page by page. Look, and this is the next page. It's my money.
Right. Yep.
I'm proud of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of myself. Look what was created from this book about boundaries. Now I have, you know, these other things that are entering the world. So I want to share that. That's me too. I don't want to only go when I've had a bad week and I'm like, oh my gosh, so-and-so died. You know, like I don't want every session to be about that. I want some sessions to be about, you know, how wonderful of a time I had on book tour or how this amazing thing is happening. And then sometimes I go there and I'm just venting about the same thing I've talked about 5,000 times. It's your time and you get to use it however you want to. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody or some other resource is, you know, like an EAP, now EAP, mm-hmm. they'll say six sessions.
Yes.
Six sessions.
You're out.
You better get to it. you better use your time wisely.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if you want to extend even beyond that, you know, you can go through your insurance, you can pay out of pocket, you can use a resource like Open Path and find somebody within your budget. There are so many options, but your healing is not time limited.
Anyone else feeling like the mental load of making dinner, the planning, the shopping, the prep, figuring out the timing? It's a little heavy to carry, huh? Same. That's why I am so grateful for Hungry Root. The food quality, simple recipes, true tastiness, and delivery right to my door is truly a game changer. When getting started, you take a fun, short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know you, what you like to eat, and more. Then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use. So you can sit back, relax, and offload the many steps of meal planning. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins, supplements, much more. My favorite item from my latest box was the honey citrus chopped salad, lemon pepper chicken, and the four cheese tortellini. You gotta try it for yourself. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's gotta taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Did you know that billions of plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles end up in landfills every year? I used to contribute to that waste, constantly buying single-use plastic cleaning products without giving it much thought. But then I discovered Blue Land, and it has been a game changer. Blue Land has helped me eliminate the need for single-use plastic and the products I reach for the most. They are reinventing cleaning essentials. Their approach is simple yet revolutionary. Refillable cleaning products with a sleek design that not only looks great on your counter, but also reduces plastic waste significantly. What I love most is the convenience. With Blue Land, I never worry about running out of cleaning supplies or lugging bulky bottles from the store. From hand soap to toilet bowl cleaner to laundry tablets that each smell incredible, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. I was blown away when I received my first Blue Land order. I immediately filled the bottles with water and their tablets, which was so easy to try everything out. And the ingredients are clean, the scents are refreshing, and the packaging is just so cute. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine. If you're ready to make a positive change for the planet without sacrificing cleanliness or convenience, Blue Land has you covered. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
So, well, you talked about something really amazing, which I think pulls us into listener questions, is that sometimes we know that something could be more helpful for us, and it's still really hard for us to do it, right? And so mm-hmm. we think that brings us to the conversation of, we'll use the word boundaries. Mm-hmm. Let's say I know I got to say to my mom, no, you can't come over every day when I just moved in with my partner. Right? But it's pretty darn hard for me to say that to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we start off with the listener questions, this question we get asked all the time, which is, how can you set a boundary without coming off as selfish? Because we have so many people that that is their fear. This makes me selfish for mm-hmm. saying this.
Perhaps it does. Are you able to have a bit of selfishness as a human? Absolutely. Yeah, there's extreme selfishness, where you're stepping on the heads of others, you're taking resources from people, you're doing things that might be vindictive, or, you know, you might be entitled in other people's lives. And then there is some healthy selfishness that we have to really get comfortable with having in our relationship, where we ask for our needs and we, you know, make these declarations. There can be, you know, people who are very uncomfortable with that, because so many of us are taught that we have to give, give, give. We have to reduce ourselves to be in relationships. We shouldn't speak up because it's unkind. And what happens? We start having headaches. We got acid reflux. We got heartburn. We got migraines, heart disease, and all sort of stuff, because we're out here, you know, trying to be in these relationships and we're not really comfortable in.
Mm-hmm.
Not really comfortable. So there is a healthy level of selfishness needed. I don't know why this just popped in my head, but I remember on my way home from school, sometimes you stop at the store and you get yourself a little snack. And, you know, when I was a kid, you had a dollar or two, you could get like a pop and a bag of chips, or, you know, maybe some candy or something like that. And the smallest bag of chips at the time, they were a quarter. And it's about 8 chips in the bag. They're really not giving you much for a quarter. Now, I would be so shocked by the people who would say, can I have some of your chips? It's only 8. Mm. It's the small, and I'm exaggerating. It was 8.
There's so much air in those bags.
There's all right?
You think there's going to think it's going to be a ton of chips. There's no.
I'll give you a quarter to go get your own quarter bag. Take 5 of my, you know, one of my 5 chips, and then you give them one chip, and they're like, can I have more? It's like, it's 5 chips in this bag. I can't share 5 chips. You went to the store, you got whatever you wanted to have, but you're asking me for 5 chips.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I would give people the chips. That's just, you know, that's just what I was thinking on the inside. I would give you the chips. And the inside, right? I was brewing like, what kind of person am I? And then next day, I was probably asking for somebody chips the next day. But
pay it forward.
Yeah. But I think about how sometimes we have limited resources and we're mm-hmm. asking people, hey, give me your stuff. And it's like, can I afford to give it to you? Do I have it mm-hmm. to offer? Is this a place where I can give it and still be okay myself? Sometimes that's our chips. Sometimes that's our time. Sometimes that's our energy. Sometimes that's listening to other people's problems. Sometimes that could be, you know, whether or not I want to go to your stuff. You know, it's do I have the energy? Can I afford to do this and still be okay?
And you mentioned this, and this takes us into our next question, because I think you bring up a really good point. Like, how do I know if I have that, if I have that ability, if I have that energy? The next question was, how do we know if we need a boundary? Are there red flags? And you mentioned the acid reflux, which just, you know, I've got a lot of acid reflux going on. So now I'm questioning everything in my life. But I'm wondering if you have.
Throw out acid reflux. Oh, yeah. God. Let me take that one back. Let me take back acid reflux. Just take a Tums.
I do need a Tums.
You know, I think anxiety is a really big one. We really have made an unhealthy practice of not paying attention to when we feel anxious about an interaction or a person. We push through. We're like, you know what? I have to do this with this person. It's unreasonable for me to not like this person. It's unreasonable for me to feel this way about this thing they did. So we experience anxiety. We experience frustration. We experience sometimes depression. We don't even want to be around people. We feel powerless to change anything in those relationships. Sometimes with boundary issues, we start to have some personality issues. You think about, you know, dependent personality, borderline personality, paranoid personality. You know, those are all, you know, things where there are some boundary challenges. Histrionic too. I didn't even think about, oh yeah, that one. We don't see that so much, but yes, I'm going down a rabbit hole, a clinical rabbit hole here. Fun things to Google. But you know, we start to see some mental health stuff, and mental health is not always severe. Anxiety is not always severe enough that we need to be diagnosed or we need to take medication for it, but it can be severe enough that maybe we need to have a conversation with someone about how they're violating our boundaries, because every time we engage with them, we feel this level of anxiety.
Yes.
Also, I will say that we know that stress shows up in our body. When I have clients sometimes, especially when they're new clients and they come in and I see eczema all over their hands or arms. And, you know, I ask them about like a correlation to flare-ups, and, you know, because eczema can be, you know, it can flare up with stress. So I think as a therapist, we have to notice the whole person. How is your sleep? How is your skin? You know, are you having any headaches? Are you having any racing hearts? I now have, you know, this little, I don't want to plug this because I'm not a but I have this thing where you, it tells you your heart rate and stuff. Mm-hmm. And baby, when I get stressed, it'd be like, your heart rate was, I'm like, you know what? I thought I was just secretly handling this well, but every time this little apparatus, it tells me, no, this was a highly stressful day to you. Mm-hmm. That conversation you had, it wore you out. Go take a nap. It's like, you need a nap now, basically. It's like, rest today. Because yesterday, you were very stressed. Like,
take a break. I don't know what apparatus you're using, but it sounds incredible.
It's the Aura Ring.
Yeah.
Aura Ring.
But I say, over the holidays, I was staying with my in-laws, and like, you know, in-laws are hard. Families are hard. Holidays are hard, right? And I get this notice from my Apple Watch. It's like, I'm sensing that you're inactive, but you have an elevated heart rate. And I'm sitting at the table talking with everyone. And I was like, I'm going to need to walk away for a minute, because if my watch is telling me, or the ring is telling me, or we have these instruments, maybe we should listen to them a little bit, especially, right? I'm not doing any physical activity. I'm talking to people and my heart rate is going up. That's probably some good information for me to know.
And the next step in technology should be set a boundary, you know, walk outside.
Yeah, it's not just this ring. It is also the Apple Watch. It is also the whatever the Android equivalent is. You know, there are so many tools now that we can have that monitor our stress level. I think you could even wear like a stress meter.
Yep.
Someone was saying from their doctor they had a stress meter. So there are so many ways to really see. Like, if you really want some information about how much people are bothering you, wear your little stress monitor. You'd be like, oh my gosh, I am above average whenever I talk to my mama. And it looks like I'm having a heart attack when I talk to my cousin. You know, so you just, oh, every time my coworker walks past, I'm in the 80s. I just saw from
shoot right up.
All the way up.
Right up. Maybe that'll be the new boundary predictor.
Yes. Yes. I think that's it.
I am thrilled thrilled that the weather is finally warming up here in Philly. I went to switch out my closet the other day from my fall winter wear to my spring summer wear and noticed that I very much needed a refresh. So thank goodness for Quince that allows me to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I refresh my closet with the high-waisted linen shorts that come in multiple colors and patterns, the comfiest cotton tees, and my latest favorite, the smocked mini dress. And don't miss out on their accessories. Quince has the coolest sunglasses and 14-karat gold jewelry to complete any look. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks. A really fun fact about me that you might not know is that if I let my hair dry natural, it is a frizz ball mess, which is one of the many reasons I absolutely love Prose. I truly never thought that I would be able to embrace my natural hair texture. Ever since I switched to a custom hair routine with Prose, I've noticed so many benefits. Less frizzy hair, yes, but beyond that too. My hair is shinier, healthier, and so much more manageable. Filming the podcast every week makes checking out my hair unavoidable, and I have felt so much more confident on camera thanks to Prose. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. The custom shampoo and conditioner combo, plus the hydrating leave-in conditioner and hair oil, keeps the frizz at bay. It also makes for the smoothest blowout. People keep asking me if I got my hair cut or went to the salon, which is, of course, the highest compliment. Prose isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're certified B Corp cruelty-free and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. They even have a review and refine tool which learns from my feedback and adjusts my formula to keep up with the seasons and changes in my life. I used this feature when I moved to my temporary house in New Jersey back to my house post-construction project in Pennsylvania. Environmental factors like water source is something that Prose takes into consideration with their customization. So it was very cool that I had the ability to update my location. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin, and they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/shrinkchicks. So you get a free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/shrinkchicks. That's prose.com/shrinkchicks.
So then here's a great question, because it goes into this. How do I do this when you're so anxious, when you're too anxious to set a boundary out of fear of how they'll react? Right. So not only does my anxiety go up, my heart rate go up when I'm dealing with this person, but then I even think about setting the boundary and I am so elevated.
You know, there is no easy way to have a hard conversation. And I think that's the tool we're looking for. How will I make it easier for me to say this hard thing? Well, it's a hard thing. I think you make your life easier by saying it, but it's not going to be easy to say because people have a reaction. I had a situation recently where I was telling someone I didn't want to have a relationship with them. And I knew that would hurt their feelings. I knew it would, but it was the truth. I don't want a relationship. There is no easy way to say that. There is no, I tried the physical boundary of, you know, creating some more distance, you know, maybe I tried a whole bunch of boundaries, everything in the book I tried. I mean, from chapter one to chapter, the chapter's not even there. I tried all the things. And then it got to a point where I said, I just don't want the relationship. And that was very hard to say, and a person doesn't accept it. And it, you know, it sounds very mean, but my stress levels were very high. This was the relationship that, you know, I tried to repair. I tried to, you know, offer different things, and it just wasn't working. And it was very, very hard to say that. And it's also a relief having said it. It's such a relief. When we end stuff, when we quit the job, when, you know, we break up with someone sometimes, when we, you know, ending a relationship, when we break up with someone sometimes, quitting the job, deciding not to, you know, get another degree, or, you know, whatever those things are that you leave, they are all hard decisions. Some harder than others, right? Some more impactful than others. Some just directly impact you, and some impact other people. But if we only get one life, which I'm still at the point where I think we only get one life, you know, I don't think we get multiples. We only get one life. I would like to utilize this time that I have to live in the best way possible as I see fit in this moment. I love a whole lot of peace. Like, I want my life to be like 90% peace, like 90%. So if anything disturbs that, chaos, confusion, I'm about 1% for it. I don't even want the other 9 to not be peace. You know, it's like, now there were times in my life where I was like at a 60, I was at a 50, but you know, at this phase, you know, it's like I'm looking at what's possible. I'm looking at what has worked. I'm looking at what I know to be true, and so some things just aren't salvageable, and that's really hard to accept. It's not improving. Is not getting better. What I often see is things get worse. Things will get worse. You know, that little crack in your windshield, that baby spreads. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get better. It's not like the crack goes back. Like, you know what? I'm going to retreat.
I'll take care of this for you.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm going to take care of this because you need to see out of your driver's side. It's like, no. It's like, no, it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse on the most important day of your life. You're like, you know what? It's this rainstorm. Here comes the bigger crack. It's like, oh my gosh. Oh
Dripping on your dashboard at that point.
I hear this all the time from new parents that are like, oh, my parents have never had a boundary in my life, but it's gotten so bad since I've had a kid. I'm like, well, did you think it was going to get better? Right? Like, did you think let's bring in this thing? And life has stresses, right? Children, life stage transitions, different things happening. Most people aren't going to be like, oh man, you know, without any conversation, oh, I realized this thing that I was doing wasn't benefiting everyone, so I'll completely change now. Usually it takes us saying something that kind of sucks to say.
Yeah. I think I know what happens with parenting. Grandparents have an expectation on what grandparenting will look like. Mm-hmm. And parents have an expectation of what parenting will look like. Sometimes they consider the grandparent, but they have an idea of what that should look like. And now you're bringing these parties together and they're like, wait a minute, this is supposed to be like this for me. And you're like, well, it's my kid and it's going to be like this for me. And so there is like a lot of conflict in those situations. And I do think it requires some conversation. Maybe starting, you know, as soon as you know you're pregnant, like setting some expectations so they have a little runway to, you know, hey, when a baby arrives, we don't want, you know, anyone outside of immediate family or whatever those things are. So saying those things, what I find is people will not necessarily like those things. And that creates a lot of bitterness, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh my God. You're not letting me do whatever I want to do with your child, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yes. It is interesting.
But also, it's room for conversation. We can have conversation.
So I have to tell you this list somebody wrote in, because I think this is fascinating with what we're talking about. So this person wrote in and said, my mom never forgave me for the boundaries I set around when my son was born during COVID. Mm-hmm. Now my sister has a baby and has no boundaries. I know what I did was right for my family at the time, but now I'm struggling with the jealousy over the relationship that my sister has with my mom. Mm-hmm. the complexity around it, right? That like this person can genuinely say, I know that it was the right thing, and still I have all these other complicated feelings around it.
I don't know if that's an answer to a question as much as it is a calling to deal with the feeling of being jealous. And hopefully to not allow the jealousy to permeate those other relationships. Perhaps to go back to the table and have a new conversation with your mother around what your needs are now. We're out of, you know, you could say, hey, we're out of the pandemic, and this is what I would like to see with myself or with my child or whatever those things are. So, you know, now it's time to renegotiate some of the terms that were previously set. And, you know, your mom has an option on whether she wants to do that or not. Maybe she says, well, I don't, you know, maybe I don't want to do that. But I think there is room for a new conversation. And jealousy is such a normal feeling that I would love for us to get more comfortable with feeling it and not acting on it. Be jealous of them and go love on your niece or nephew. Be jealous of them and call your sister and ask her about her day and what's going on. Be jealous and talk to your mother. Be jealous and love on your baby and your family. It's a feeling. It's like sadness. It's like happy, you know? Sometimes we are sad the entire day, and sometimes we're just sad for a moment. You know, sometimes we're just, you know, happy for a little bit. So it's a feeling. It's not the, you know, it's not one that we want to have, but it's a feeling, and it's okay. It sounds like you know the why of it, and it's very normal. We will always be jealous about something. I have to, you know, sometimes watch my online shopping with that their jealousy. Because I will see somebody with something and I'm like, where did that? I'm like, white bag with holes in it. Let me Google this. I'm like, I want that bag. And then I have to talk, Nedra, let her. Her bag was lovely. It was great. It was awesome. And you don't need it. You don't need it. Let her have a nice thing without you thinking that you also need the nice thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. My in-laws comment on my toddler's weight. How do I tell them off politely?
Tell them off? Well, I don't teach cussing classes or cussing people out and telling people off classes. But I have been known for a good read. No. I think that is a statement. Please, you know, refrain from making any comments about my toddler's weight. Please don't say that. We don't want to body shame a toddler. And that's away from the toddler, right? Mm-hmm. You have that conversation privately, one-on-one with your parents, and you ask them to not engage in that behavior. When they're doing it in the moment, you can correct it in the moment. And you say, oh, that wasn't kind to say. Or, you know, like you would maybe say to anyone, take your parents out of this. Take your parents out of this. Your parents are people. They're people. When a person is saying something about your child's body, what would you say to the person?
No, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Don't say that. Please don't say that anymore. That's unkind. Mm-hmm. Or whatever it is. You know, whatever you would say is really what you say, even if it's your parent. And I think having that conversation apart for them is really important too with body stuff. You know, it's just so personal to the person. It's so personal. Or even, you know, I'm a Black woman, of course. I don't know why I said that, but anyway.
Well, maybe someone's just listening. They don't know.
No. But I was going to say, I'm a Black woman. And sometimes there is this colorism, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like light skin, dark skin, brown skin. And when people have that issue of saying something in a derogatory way about a person with a different complexion or a person with a different body, it's typically personal. It's not, that's how they may feel about themselves, or they've had some teasing around this, or they've had. And so when you're saying that, it's like, you know, it's not a psychology moment. I'm not here to break down, you know, what your possible issue with weight or color or hair or whatever these things are could be. I'm simply here to say, don't say it to my kid. Now, you can take your issues and you can go troubleshoot them with a therapist. You can go read a book, or you can do nothing. Doesn't matter. Do not say these things to my child. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want them to then have this story, and then they're telling other. I mean, the cycle repeats because the cycle is repeating.
Yeah.
So someone has to hop in there and say, no, no, not here.
And I
say something.
Say something. And I love that, because it isn't your job, right, to break down the reasons why that person is saying mm-hmm. those things to you. But for you to be able to say, you can't say those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, simply just don't say that.
What I think that's one of the confusions some people come when it comes to boundaries. Like, everyone feels like they need to explain everything all the time, right? We don't body shame in this household, and here's the reasons why, right? And they're given facts and figures of eating disorders and body issues, as opposed to that isn't our job always to educate other people in all these ways. Sometimes our job is to just say no.
I used to work at the hospital with teenagers who were going through psychological crisis or psychiatric crises. And one of the things I remember in a random training, it had nothing to do with my job, but they were talking about how in hospitals, they tried to make all reading material appropriate for fifth graders because people don't read and understand medical lingo, right? So you want to say to a person, take these two pills, one in the morning, one in the evening. It's not always necessary. They take one in the morning or the evening. They could take it at 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock. But the more direct you are with the person, the higher the likelihood. Now, on here, on the bottle, they're not going to write on there, hey, take these two pills, because if you take them at this time, you have a higher likelihood of adhering to actually taking two pills. We've over-communicated.
Yes.
The person has missed the whole point of take these two pills, morning, evening. That's the whole thing. Nice. Now, if you want to dig a little deeper and you want to say to your doctor, well, why in the morning and evening? That's great. If you want to ask more questions, that's wonderful. But do we always need these thorough responses and examples? I think we do that because we want people to validate and come to our side of understanding, right? So if you say, in this household, we don't body shame because body shaming is this and da, 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 we're trying to persuade this person to maybe adopt this thinking in their life. Yeah. I'm trying to persuade you. Guess what I'm trying to do? Don't say it to my kid. That's it. I'm not trying to make you follow any body positive people on social media. I'm not trying to make you embrace your body and wear a bathing suit if you feel unquote. Don't talk to my kid like that.
Yeah.
Now, if you want more information about that, we can have a conversation. But the simple thing is, let's not talk to a child about that because it's inappropriate. If you are speaking to a person who is inquisitive, they have the capacity to understand, that might be a separate conversation where you say, hey, you know, I said this earlier because. Now, many of us know some fools, and you can go down this whole path of this persuasive speech, and they gonna come down a path with their persuasive speech. That's not body shaming, and you know, and it's like, oh, why did we do this? We know our people. We know which people can handle more information and which people want to argue.
Yeah.
So choose when you want to share more and when you're like, don't do that.
It's a great point. Like, right, like, what's the point of why I'm saying this? And if it's to convince other people of everything, that just kind of sounds exhausting.
Exhausting.
Yeah. I think about, you know, the things that we do with little children. You know, you think about kindergarten classroom rules. Don't hit, don't kick, don't speak out of turn, don't yell, don't this. Now, we could go into further explanation of those things, but all of that just means the class needs to pay attention. Everybody needs to sit alongside each other, you know, all of these things. We don't have to do the long hand of the rule. The short hand works just fine. Don't hit. That's it. It works just
that's
fine.
It. That's, yeah. That's it.
Don't hit people because it's not nice and they might hit you back because you could, but don't hit is a wonderful rule. It, yeah. I mean, it's been working for generations in kindergarten classrooms, you know. Don't run. Yeah. You know, it's like, that's a great rule. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. It's not don't run because you may trip down the hall and brush your teeth out. It's like, don't run. Just don't run.
Yeah.
In any space, don't run.
In general, just don't run. No running.
Well, I have a 4-year old. I'm a 4-year old. And this year at school, they started doing classroom jobs. And I love the teacher because here's what she does, right? So if your job is the door holder, they have a song and it's hold, 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 and hold, hold, hold. And if your job is to clean the table, it's wipe, 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 and wipe, wipe, wipe. And it's one word for every job, no matter what That's job good. They had. My daughter would come home and she would sing her one word, a push, 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 and a push, push, push. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense to me, right? So then I started doing in the mornings, because it was so freaking hard to leave the house with a 4-year-old, a leave, 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 and a leave, leave, leave. And what do you know? We walked to the door.
You know what? I'm going to start advocating for a push, push, push on doors. And a pull, pull, pull on doors.
Yes.
Because I'm still at the door pushing the pool.
Yes.
I need comma push.
Like 3 times in a row, right? Like they have a song, one word and a song. I think that's great. We need a jingle.
I think we should do the jingle with just like our business tasks, you know?
Like, oh, yeah.
Payroll,
notes,
payroll,
notes,
payroll.
Notes, and a notes. Notes, 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 and a notes, notes, notes.
Our whole business model is going to change.
CEs and a CEEs.
Listen, right? we've, maturity has tricked us into thinking that these foundational skills no longer work. We're above them. Yeah. We're above the don't run. It's like, no, I need an explanation. Mm-hmm. Like, don't run. Just push pull. Just don't say that to my kid. Don't. It's just like, that's it. It worked.
That's it.
It worked.
Well, wow. And I think that goes back to wrap it up, which is that's about finding peace, right? The simplicity of not need to fight with everyone and not need to do this, but to simply do the push and pull. I think that goes to finding peace. And you can learn more about that in one of my favorite books, which is Set Boundaries, Find Peace. put a commercial in the middle. We can obviously keep you here forever, but we have to go to our final segment, which you do with every guest, which is calling BS, where we call some bullshit in your field. Mm. And so with you here today, will you call some BS for us?
Here's a thing that I think is interesting. I think there are so many things that overlap. And then when this new concept comes out, like whether it's like CBT, CPT, CBTP, or whatever, I'm just making up acronyms now, that it's like this new thing. And then you look and it's like, it's kind of the same as
somebody rebranded it. They got the new PR.
Yeah, they got a new logo. So that is always interesting to me and a little funny. Like, oh, wow, this is
the same. Okay. We say that all the time.
Yeah. Oh, coaching therapy. Solution focused. Right. so I would say that like there are all of these like spinoffs of, you know, maybe 10, 15 things. I don't know. But, you know, just all of this retitled stuff that I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, they make you put a title.
Yeah. Right.
Bring it full circle.
So, Netra, we cannot thank you for being here today, for giving this incredible information. You're iconic. But what, oh man, just like a Whitney Houston, let's bring it all back together. Wow. How can people find you? How can they listen to you? You have to buy her amazing books. How can people locate you?
Yes, I have a website, nedratawab.com. All of my stuff is there.
Amazing.
Perfect.
Easy.
There you go. There you go. And you have a practice as well.
I do. Kaleidoscope Counseling. It's here in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a group practice, so there are other therapists if you're looking for therapy in North Carolina.
Perfect. So North Carolina listeners, you now know exactly where to go. Kaleidoscope, amazing name. Thank you for being here today. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We always ask you to rate, review, subscribe, follow an Apple podcast. You can listen to us at Trink Checks, follow us at the therapy group, meet with one of our amazing clinicians as well. And don't forget that to grow yourself, you got to know yourself. We'll see you next week on Trink Checks.